Rick Emerson Radio Program live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up here in just a few. Dennis Pitzenbarger will be here. We had started getting some story about getting into a bar brawl this weekend. And it wasn't even here. It was like in Astoria or someplace. And it ends... And Dennis punching a guy in a bar is sort of interesting, not entirely unexpected. Dennis and then his wife punching somebody in the face. Which is...
That makes for an interesting story.
It's fantastic. So we'll talk to him in just a few. Bottom of the hour, more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, the Rick Emerson Show will tell you how to vote this year. What else? Well, some other crap as well. Jim Roop's going to join us and so forth. Let's see. Oh, by the way, in case you were caring about this, you were not. Bon Marché and Myron Frank were owned by the same company, but had different names in different regions, although they were at the same place. Now they've been bought by Macy's, which is much different. There's a slight difference in the items being sold, but they are still the same caliber of department store. As though I was really worried about it. The same caliber of department store before, thank God. Rick. Oh, here we go. Rick, the Safeway in, about dangerous intersections. The Safeway in Tillamook has a narrow two-lane street that goes right between the store and the parking lot. But to the untrained eye, this is great. But to the untrained eye, this narrow two-lane road just looks like part of the parking lot. And we're all used to guiding ourselves through normal 5-mile-an-hour parking lot traffic. But when some dude comes cruising out of the blue at 35 miles an hour, things get really entertaining. Perhaps it is not the safe way to do your shopping, after all, bada-bing. Do two more here. Big K still has Little Caesars. And there was a new one on Lombard, and they have Lombard, the home of quality. And they have $5 large pepperoni pizzas, and then it's signed, hell yeah, bitch. One more. Rick, just as there's no toilet paper in a bathroom stall, there is no tea in Replenish. Okay. Normal guys wouldn't shop in a store with a name sounding like metrosexual, but Todd the Corpse would. Oh, hello. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Pro... Oh, wait, am
you
I...
You have the sounder.
No, that hello was not directed at you.
Oh.
I was just saying hello because he's unexpected referencing of Todd the Corpse. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson with the whole... There we go. I don't have his... no, it's here somewhere. Wait, hold on. No. A lot of these are... They've gone strangely unlabeled, though. No. Wait, hold on.
Oh, my God, Rick.
Hold on. I can't quite find Dennis's. Give me a second. It's here somewhere. Hold on. Just a minute.
Girl's got some lungs.
1 second.
Okay, stop.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. Is it right if I have these on my head?
You know, it really is tempting to... it really is tempting. You know, have you heard that promo? The Donna Mike Don't Call Me Ass promo? Boy, it's just... That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I'd like a cheeseburger. Ass. Have you heard the Donna Mike ass promo?
I actually haven't. It's fantastic. Who put that together?
Scotty J. Well, I mean, they did the contest, but I mean, Scotty J. did that. Let's take a couple of these calls real quick, and then we'll talk about your wife putting a beat down on somebody in a bar.
Oh, it was awesome.
You know what we got to do? And then we'll play that Donna Mike ass promo, which is genius, because I have an idea for something. Sean, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
You folks did a show a while back in which you mentioned the misguided use of a trebuchet.
Yeah, there were some midgets that apparently got hit by a 3,000-pound counterweight while launching pumpkins.
Matt and Amy Roloff, they own a farm. They're on this reality show called Little People, Big World.
Right, right, right.
they're actually great people. They just own medieval siege weapons. And I've sent photographs to your website. I was there a couple of weeks ago to get my Halloween pumpkin.
Really, only on this program would you ever hear that phrase. They're fine people. They just own a large collection of medieval siege weapons.
Anybody have a trebuchet?
No, I was getting... Look, there's a stunning number. Can I just tell you this? Here's the thing. In our audience, and when I mean the station as a whole, but I mean maybe, but I mean in this program's audience, I would guess probably 30% of the people listening to my voice right now have gone to a fair recently that ends in E. Do you know what I mean? A bunch of those F-A-I-R-E people.
Right.
Where they've gone to a shop with two P's and an E. A whole bunch of... And they've done this while wearing a lot of satin and carrying around a lance. So,
Or a broadsword.
Yes, exactly.
And
so,
knife.
So have you? So you've been to the fight? You've been there. You've seen them use the catapult?
Yeah. It throws the chunks the pumpkins a huge distance. And then according to the owner, Matt Roloff, the counterweight is actually like 1,800 pounds of concrete.
Now, and is there just a big, dumb question, big expansive open field that they shoot the pumpkins toward?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, because I would like
to... They have 34 acres.
It does seem like they're wasting an opportunity if they're merely throwing pumpkins out of that. Pumpkins are old hat. Well, we could just find like some sort of a, I don't know, like a large bag of guts or something. Or
each other.
I think they inadvertently did that this weekend, actually.
Oh, incidentally, I shudder to think of a world in which anything could top that worst story ever.
Oh, no, it is the worst story ever. I mean, except for that thing last week about the dog and the daycare and the hey-hey and the
Hey, maybe whatever tops it can include a trebuchet.
Yeah, so perhaps. All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
There you go, that's Sean. No, just get like a... Like, what else could they throw from that catapult?
Well, it kind of has the same idea of when you were a kid with firecrackers. You started off with something small, and then eventually you got bigger to where you were like...
But what about fireworks? They could totally do... Well, the wind might put the fuse out, though.
That'd be kind of cool to throw a bunch of lit firecrackers into one of those. And then
shoot it. That'd be pretty cool.
Or bottle rockets, and then you don't know where they're going to go.
See, and I was just thinking, like, if you could just go...
It'd be fun to have something that would splat.
I was going to say, what do you get? Just get 1,000 pounds of fat.
Ooh.
Just literally half a ton of fat. Just dump it in there.
It seems that the show has a lot of friends in the corpse disposal business.
Can we just throw some corpses? Can we give your loved ones the final ride of their lives after death?
That was my favorite Phil Henry bit, is when he's talking about having Bob Hope walk through the Rose Garden of Death, and someone very politely walks up behind him and shoots him in the back of the head to put him out of his misery.
Really? I mean, no, if I die in the next few days, I give you guys permission to shoot my body out of a catapult just right into the sky.
Are you serious?
What do I care? I'm dead. Doesn't matter to me. In fact, our goal should try to be to have a listener sign over the rights to shoot his body out of a catapult if he dies.
That's awesome, because you know what it'd be like? Grab the biggest part. We can do it again.
You can probably shoot the body 3 or 4 or 5 times if you had a big enough scoop.
Well, the torso would stick together, Mom.
Hello. All right. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me just get this one more, and then we'll talk about your wife. Then we'll talk about your wife.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George, hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, George.
Unlike the Oregonian raccoons we have here, the raccoons of New York harbor rabies quite often.
Okay.
And I was hearing over the weekend about a woman who was out on her daily constitutional, and suddenly a raccoon burst out of the bushes and vectors in on her.
Now, let's back up. When you say daily constitutional, does that mean she's whizzing somewhere?
No, in this case, it means that she's out for a walk.
Oh, okay. All right.
And she's walking through the snow, and out comes this... This raccoon, and it locks onto her like with laser-like precision. It's just you can see in the eyes that that thing wants her. So she starts to run, but it pursues her and tackles her.
What, had she killed someone in the raccoon's family in generations past, or
the raccoons of New York? You know,
yeah,
they don't let go easily. Well, anyway, she pinned it to the snowy ground and held it at arm's length, but it was snapping and snarling at her, and she couldn't let it go, so she had a dilemma. She couldn't let it go because it would just tackle her again. And so she whipped out her cell phone after about 20 minutes of trying to get it out of her pocket and hold this thing down at the same time. And she called her husband and her son, and they came rolling out and drove up to her and were trying to free the raccoon and her, get them apart, and it just would not let go, so they brought out a tire iron and they took
Did this end with them beating the raccoon with a tire iron while it's still clutching her?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And they had to take turns because they got
they got winded. I'm spent. You take an hour beating this raccoon with an iron.
They had to take turns for 5 minutes wailing on this raccoon.
Is there a video, please?
Oh, please.
Oh,
I just don't want to impugn our Oregonian raccoons.
No, but the thing about raccoons is raccoons are mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean like in the human sense, but I mean they're vicious. They're very, very.
I don't want to mess with a raccoon.
No, and look, I've told this story, I think, but I'm not entirely sure about this. And you got to be really careful with your pets too, because they will like mess your pets up.
Right.
But I went out to take Max for a walk the other night, and not the other night, it was a few weeks ago, I guess now. But I walk out and I see these glowing eyes about, I don't know, 30 feet up to my left, and I'm like, cat, you know, and I went immediately to take Max inside, because the thing is, you can't he just, if he sees a cat, it's impossible to get him to do his business, because it, even when the cat is gone, he thinks the cat is still there, and he just stays all alert for the cat. And so if there's a cat outside that distracts him right away, you got to take him back inside and take him out, like, later when he's forgotten about it. Anyway, so I get ready to walk inside, but I look over, and then I see another pair of glowing eyes, and it was a, what I presume to be the mother raccoon, mm-hmm. and then, like, either three or four, like, baby raccoons with her, and because there's a dumpster near my house, because I live in a really classy place. And so they were at this huge dumpster full of trash, which is, like, 30 feet from me, and man, bless you. And you know what? Four raccoons, they'll kill you. Four raccoons could kill you.
I had to actually feed 22 raccoons at a friend's house once. They were away on vacation.
Was it with your friend?
What's that?
Was it a, never mind. All right, we have to go.
Anyways, it took so long to kill the raccoon that actually one of them left in the car to go get some help.
I need some Joe. Can you go get me some Bosco? All right.
He came back with a kitchen knife just as it expired.
All right, thank you, sir.
Horrifying.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, there you go. Thanks. All right, Dennis, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. I'm actually having a really great day. I'm hanging on to what weather we have left, I guess, is what it is. It's put me in a good mood.
Excellent.
Good.
We'll tell the beatdown story in a second. Do we have, by that Donna Mike promo handy, by the way,
yep.
the ass? Okay, this is genius. We're not going to a break here yet. We are just going to play this promo.
If you haven't heard the Don and Mike show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. Turn on yet another piece of contemporary music.
Ah, yes, sir. I love this.
Just start. Don't call me ass.
Where you have to get someone to say the phrase, don't call me ass, at a drive-thru.
Call him ass. If you guess, yes. You win $100 American.
Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Yeah. Can I get a double-decker taco ass?
Oh, hold on.
And the spicy chicken sauce taco ass.
Call me ass, sir.
There you go. Fantastic. All right, there you go. Fantastic. So there you go. Don't call me ass. Where you just got to go to a drive-thru and say ass after everything until they say no. And so I'm thinking that really there ought to be, I just long to equip a guy with a boombox, you know, or whatever it is, like a radio, and just have him, at some point he just segues into, and just to see how long it would go. Or just, sorry.
Seems to be going for a while there.
No, but I mean, really, if you could, or just, I mean, I hate to sound like I'm just blatantly stealing from them, but that Connie Chung thing is just so genius. I get it. There's got to be some, I am kind of, we're sort of retro, we're reverse engineering this whole thing, but there's got to be some kind of contest we can structure around that Connie, and it's labeled here the Connie Drone, where I've just taken that one note from the thank you so much, and I've just looped it.
I wonder if you could get someone to see how long they could get another person to stay on hold. Like, hold on 1 second. And this, and you could get, like, some sort of prize for 30 seconds, some sort of prize for 45 seconds. That wouldn't be too bad.
There's something. There's something we can do there. So, well, now that you're here, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do the, we'll tell them about the bar fight. I said this way you won't get behind. We'll break here. We'll come back. Dennis will tell his, your wife, who, and I say this with all respect, very hot, how your wife becomes even hotter in this story as she beats another woman in the face.
Oh, yes.
Really, it's just fantastic. Was she wearing a tight shirt while she did it?
Oh, yeah, actually.
There you go. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. In just a moment, Dennis Pittsenbarger will rejoin us to talk about his wife beating somebody's ass over the weekend at a bar. There's really no reason for the story. I just like saying that phrase. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen,
kneel before him!
At the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Breaking news, Senator John Kerry has issued a statement saying, quote, I personally apologize to any service member.
Hey, you got too much energy in your voice.
I personally apologize to any service member, family member, or American who was offended by comments made by me about being stuck in Iraq.
Never heard of a hobbit.
Now I will go and do a crossword puzzle.
Where have I
will
left
make my... no further appearances.
Totally. Did you ever work outside of this pack him inside a steamer trunk and just send him to Singapore for a decade? Didn't he yesterday? I will not apologize. And then to today, I am apologizing. I mean, I think we're beyond the point of noting that he often reverses his positions on things, but even that's a little blatant even for him. I will, well, crap, I'm sorry.
Oh, genius. Well done. Thank you, John.
Are we going to bag one here?
Yes. Senator Clinton says Senator Kerry's remarks about the education of troops is wrong. However, speaking about military families, the senator says things need to change in many areas.
We do need a new policy in Iraq. I and others have been advocating that for quite some time. We do need to get our fiscal house back in order. We do need to deal with the serious problems affecting the people of our country, and that's what I hope this election's about.
Oh, I love her.
All right. Senator Joe Lieberman, busy as a bee, telling people, yes, they're going to have a hard time finding him on the ballot.
We're going to spend some time educating voters about where I am on the ballot and how to find me. Normally, you do a GOTV campaign, you know, get out the vote. We are doing a GOTB campaign in addition, get out the ballot, as you will see.
Is that so worried about whether or not you want to vote for him? You may not be able to.
I love that guy.
It's not even Florida. It's Connecticut.
Oh, genius.
Yes, and once again, we have found that treasured soundbite we lost yesterday of Joe Lieberman singing along with his radio jingle designed to explain to voters how to find him on the ballot.
Walk into to that voting booth.
Yes.
Real truth.
Vote your mind.
Vote your mind. Jolie, bottom line.
Ah, it's gold. Okay, I gotta make it. Scotty, don't let me forget to save that. The Metro, this Card-O-Matic software, and I know this sounds like a made-up thing, but this Card-O-Matic is a little weird. I gotta figure out how to save these, because I have to play it for Lisa Goddard tomorrow. Yeah, okay, there you go. I'm going to set that aside. Oh, it's genius. One more time.
To the voting booth. Real truth. Vote your mind. Vote your mind. Bottom line.
Not even he knows where he's located.
Fantastic. All right.
So, this time, it's a woman going after police officers, and not the other way around. This happened in Seattle, in Lewis County. Central Services Director Patty Prouty has resigned. Patty Prouty. Okay. She allegedly sent sexually charged digital messages to police officers in the cruisers.
Digital message, like with her fingers?
No, digital messages on a computer, which there were 150 of these, and many too explicit to broadcast, but include messages, quote, I want to come over and bleep to an officer. Another said, quote,
that could be
I have my hand up my dress, unquote.
What was that?
I have my hand up my dress. Says one politician, they're on the job and should be out protecting the public, not fiddling around with text messages on the system.
Fiddling.
Patty Prouty did have a $78,000 a year job.
Patty Prouty just sounds fat. Just from the name, you know she's fat.
So she's resigned.
Yeah.
And somebody else there has been docked, and their vacation time has been taken away for intercepting these messages. The moral of the story is to listen to what you're told when you get the machine, not to be fiddling around when you're supposed to be working.
Keep your hand out of your dress.
Good God. Back to our EverQuest game. Sue out one more here, and then we'll find out about Dennis's wife punching somebody in the face.
Oh, sad but true, plastic flamingos will no longer be produced. The Leominster, Massachusetts factories, making 50 years, is going out of business. Apparently the victim of rising expenses for plastic resin and electricity, as well as financial problems. We think the flamingo will go on, said the chief financial officer. 100 employees who make plastic flamingos will now have to find something else to do. Just a couple of workers, we're around to wrap up business today.
What job could you possibly get having made plastic flamingos for a living? This
is their lifelong work.
You never really think about it as a guy who owns the Pink Flamingo Company. Well, there you go. Yeah, those are job skills that will not help
the
you.
The birds typically sell for around $10 for a box set of two and stand nearly 3 feet high with its head proudly erect, another bending over as if to munch on grass. Their legs consist of spindly metal rods that can be planted in the ground. The originals have their creator's signature etched into the bird's plastic rear end. The ornaments hit the market in the late 1950s when the color pink was in vogue, and America's exploding population of suburbanites thought to add flair to the yards. Not so much anymore. The mystique has worn off, and plastic penguins become a piece of a vanishing Americana.
Let's all have a moment for the penguins. Or whatever they are.
Flamingos.
Whatever. They're vanishing. Doesn't matter. All right, there you go. Thank you, Tim. Tim Riley will return at the top of the hour with more from the Ministry of Truth. All right, we're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune and PortlandAutoClick.com.
PDXAutoClick.com. That's okay.
PDXAutoClick.com.
That would be me.
All right. Okay, so I know you're kind of under the gun here, but I want to get this. So we were talking about this during a break. I can't believe you didn't mention this on the air that you mentioned in a break. So where are you, Astoria?
We are at the bustling metropolitan area of Astoria.
Just some asshole up there.
The Wet Dog Bar and Tavern, I believe is what it was called.
The Wet Dog.
The Wet
Dog. Why would you go to a place called that?
Well, because that's where everyone was. There's 400 bars in Astoria because obviously all you had to do is meth and drink because that's what your life consists of.
Yes.
So I decided to take my way. We were there for our anniversary.
Meth.
Oh, yes. So we went out to have a drink. We went to one bar that was kind of a jazz bar. It seemed a little older for our liking. So we decide, we ask, well,
where are the kicks in this town, young
where's
man?
Where's the young, hip kid going to go
in
if
Astoria.
He wants to go out and have a drink in Astoria? So we waddle on down to the Wet Dog, go in, have a few drinks, play some pool.
We waddle on down to the Wet Dog. They dined at the Pink Taco.
And we were intoxicated. And so we were walking all through Astoria. We end up at the Wet Dog. We have some pool, play some pool, hang out, and we played some video poker. I kind of hit four of a kind, betting some money. So I had a few, I had some money to cash in on. Well, I'm waiting on one side of the bar. My wife is on the other. She's sitting there, and there's a chair in between him and this, this guy. I mean, he is, can I say that word?
Yes.
Okay.
He's whispering, douchebag.
Okay, so this total douchebag is standing there on the other side of a chair. For my wife, the hat turned sideways, the pink polo, Livestrong bracelet.
I know that guy.
Know that guy. Well, him and his buddy is standing there. And he starts kind of hipping the chair into my wife a little bit, like to make space. And my wife's pushing back because she doesn't take lip. And a few minutes of this goes on, she turns around to me, and this guy just kind of gives her the big shove. Well, I've had a few adult beverages. So I decide to walk over, grab the chair, throw it out of the way, grab the guy by his shirt in the front, and I'm like,
immediately go to the, I'm going to beat your ass.
Well, no, I was very diplomatic at first.
I grabbed his shirt.
Well, I just kind of said, dude, you need to make some, I actually did not raise my voice. I was like, dude, you need to make some space. This is my wife. Don't push her. And he spat it off with the F this and the F you and the F what are you going to do and blah, blah, blah. And the next motion was something about him in a clinch against the bar and then into all his buddies on the floor.
Fantastic. So you just grabbed him and tossed him.
I just tossed him. Fantastic. And, so that happens, and now all chaos starts to break loose. And
you were totally, it was like a Blazing Saddles thing, where it's like one punch leads to the whole bar just being in shambles.
All of a sudden, there's like seven or eight people throwing drinks and beer bottles at my wife and I, including
Jesus, I was trying to make a laugh, but I didn't expect you to say that.
Well, no, and then all of a sudden, this one little Asian girl, and only because I remember her face specifically, leans over, chin first, which, by the way, if you're in a bar fight, don't lead with your chin.
Seriously.
Leans over and is telling my wife to do this and that with random objects in the bar, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see it coming. Like, she has loaded it up from another state.
Brandy has?
Brandy. The full-on right hook. I mean, I see it come out of the blue over the top and just...
I wouldn't... And she hit the Asian girl in the face?
Oh, just tagged her, knocked her backwards about...
Where, like chin, bridge of the nose?
No, actually cheek, eyeball.
Oh, that's great. See, you can do some real ocular damage there. That's good. I would not screw with your wife. I really wouldn't. And your wife, and people who are familiar with me and my show, that I say this with respect. This is a compliment. Your wife has a sort of, I don't know anything about her background, but she does have a kind of blue collar vibe. And I mean that in a good way.
Well,
meaning she's not like a delicate,
she's
like
not a girly girl.
Girly girl wilting flower, whatever the hell. I mean, she's like, I mean, she's, and again,
she's
I mean, a guy's girl. Yeah, I mean this in a good way. She's kind of one of the guys that, I mean, she's, you know, very attractive and all that, but I wouldn't cross her. She'd totally beat you, as this story bears out.
Oh, sure. I mean, she took all her money in poker. You can't, you know, can't.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's, you don't want to, you don't want to cross her.
Kicking some butt in a bar. So anyway, that happens. She goes backwards. Now, all of a sudden, this is where it goes bad. So, as my wife has totally clocked some girl who's friends with every guy in the bar.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So now there's six little douchebags telling me that my life is about to end and I'm about to get my arms and legs ripped from my body and then beat with this.
This is like that Storm and Davey thing that happened a couple years ago where Storm whacks the guy and then, you know, where Storm whacks the guy and then the guy's response is, okay, we're going to beat up him, you know, and then they all turn on Davey.
That's exactly it. So now, the only one I'm worried about, because, you know, in a bar fight, the ones flapping their gums are the ones that aren't going to throw them.
Oh, no, totally.
But the 6'6", 400-pound pit bull that has now moved to my left and is sitting quietly an arm reach away from me is now scaring the daylights out of me. So now it's eight guys, now it's ten, now I'm sitting there, and some guy out of the blue comes up behind me, don't worry, I hate these jerks, I got your back, no one's going to get you from behind. So now at least I have one guy on my side, and my wife the whole time with the other girls just basically trying to antagonize everyone. So to skip to the next chapter, now it's time to leave. We got to get out of there. It is exploded into a situation.
As 12 guys are trying to beat you into a paste.
Literally. And so I grab the bouncer that's in front of me, and we start to move towards the door to get out of here. The bartender has not seen my wife nail the girl in the face, just all of them throwing drinks. So all of them are kicked out. My wife and I need to leave. Go look for the bouncer with the big red hat on. Okay, let's go. So we start moving towards the door.
He's like the flashing thing at the video game. Exit. List level. You know, leave screen.
You can go to the next level here.
So totally. Yeah.
As we're going down, as we're getting towards the stairs, the smaller bouncer that is now in front of me is in between me and everybody else, so to speak. He's kind of the barrier between it just going haywire. This is the funniest part. So the girl who's now returned from the bathroom with a giant welt in the side of her face comes up and pushes me and the bouncer at the same time, which then my wife, here it comes again out of nowhere, right in the face.
But
she actually ended up hitting the bouncer.
Oh!
Right in the side of the face.
Oh.
It gets better. The bouncer, who then turns, thinks the Asian girl hit him, so tackles all of those people on the ground as my wife and I go running down.
Seriously, you're like Doc Holliday and his, you know, his sweet Hungarian devil running for the door.
Oh,
totally. This is our chance. Run.
Oh, we make it to the door. The guy's coming up the stairs in the red hat, and I'm like, it's them! It's them! We run towards the door, and as we get out into the street, just like some sort of Scorsese movie, there's the taxi running with the steam coming out of the
house. And you're totally at the door, like, in, go!
Oh, get in the car. As I look back, as my wife basically almost shoved my wife in the cab, I get in the cab behind her. My wife, and then, of course, is showing the digits to everyone out the back window.
They're always good for that, aren't they? Make sure that the crowd hates you to the very end.
Yeah. Oh, so as I get in the cab, I turn around as my wife is flipping everyone off. Like 15 guys are like
piling out of the bar.
Everyone's looking for us. They find us in the cab, and I literally, as calm as the calmest person on the planet, look at the driver and go, you might want to leave now.
That's genius.
So it was, I even get pumped up.
It's a fantastic story. I just wish it was on film or snapshots. You never think to, you know.
Oh, well, I was going to pull out my trio, but I thought it might be inappropriate. Do you mind if I film this when my wife smacks your face around?
But seriously. And the idea that she threw like two big punches is great.
Well, and I didn't even know it was coming. The beauty was that the girl, the first one, when she just stuck her chin out like nothing was going to happen.
Asking for it.
Oh, and I mean.
Can I just say this? And it's always good when somebody like in a fight like that is asking for it, and then when they get it,
well,
you know what I mean.
And that is the truth, because I was very diplomatic at first.
Yeah.
And so as we had talked about maybe having my life broken down by Mr. Likas when he is here, that gets me points right there. Is my wife can kick ass.
Totally. Well, and again, we've talked about this is a very well known dynamic that women are a lot of times are faster to anger than guys are. Like I've talked about this with Lara. I mean, so like somebody will, and I get angry behind the wheel, but it's like somebody will, she thinks that we've been cut off, or guy isn't merging quite right, and it's like she is down with the window, finger out, scream, you know, F you, you know, And it's like, she's never the one who's going to get punched for that. It's always going to be me that's going to get beaten and tossed over a railing somewhere. So, but see, your wife is hot and becomes even hotter after this story where she's like punched a chick in the face.
And doing it in a tight shirt and like, you know, the spray on pants. She looks hot while she's doing it. I mean, that was the beauty of it. Oh, and the best part was that, as I do spoil my wife with these shiny, sparkly things that go on her fingers.
Yes.
The beauty was is she...
Did she leave an indentation of the wedding ring on the girl's face?
Well, it wasn't the wedding ring. It was the right-hand ring that has, like, several diamonds in it. So it's just clock right in the face.
Fantastic.
So, honey, I love you. And for so many reasons, on top of that, it just makes it so much better when I can say, go ahead and mess with her.
Excellent. There you go. See, that's a story worth bringing you back for.
I appreciate
well
that.
Done.
I invite Mr. Likas to break my wife down because I'm the one who married the young hot girl who kicks butt and the Lord giveth and didn't take away the bosom after childbirth.
All right. Okay, never mind. I was going to read this about a story real quickly. I swear to God, it's a guy named Jesse Woodcock. Rick, nothing to do in Astoria. Pleased to be telling you about Sharkbite, Astoria's most infamous stripper. I'm not sure about the name of the club for which she strips, but apparently, at some point in her past, she had a very nasty, very conspicuous run-in with a shark, which translated into an eggplant-sized chunk missing from her thigh. There's nothing more arousing than a lap dance with a piece of human chum. All right, there you go. That's, thank you. Okay, so the next, when you're in Astoria, be sure to visit Shark Bite.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's down at the wet dog getting something to drink.
The wet dog is a bad phrase.
It was just, imagine. I told my wife we will never, ever go to a, I'm never going
to. No, because you know it's the same 15 guys who drink in that bar in Astoria all the time.
Oh, no, there's a poster of me. Yeah. I'm sure at the wet dog. See this guy? Grab him.
A sepia-toned poster, like with bullet holes at the edges. Yeah. Excellent.
Which they're talking about Astoria, like where Goonies was filmed and whatnot, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I went to a bar there once. For lunch in the middle of the day, and that was a tough crowd.
In the
middle of the day, everyone was drinking beer already. Like,
see, I didn't think it was kind of a. I mean, I haven't been there forever and ever, but it seems like an upscale place.
No, I was listening to him talk the whole time. No, it's like fishermen, and it's a bunch of.
Oh, all right. So it's like
a lot of motorcycle guys.
It's like an Aberdeen
a lot of really dirty
kind of place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the biker guys, they won't really mess with you unless things are going
horribly
bad.
It's always some dick. It's always some guy, 23 years old.
Hat tilted.
Totally.
You know, I mean,
some schmuck just came from having his picture of him and his baby mama's face laser printed onto his shirt at the mall. No, you know what I'm. You know that guy.
Oh, it was.
It's like, no disrespect to him, but it's like a really belligerent, even like an even more high, really dumb version of Kyle. He could be on the show.
Oh, I called Kyle the other day and I invited him to come to Like Us.
Kyle, former intern of the Rick Emerson radio
totally
program. Oh, totally. He's totally with
you.
He'll have to fight Scotty's, you know, to kiss the ring. Because Scotty's just, I mean, this is like, when Like Us is here, that's like the fulfillment of a dream for Scotty. It really is like the full, everything just coming full circle. So there you go.
And I wanted to talk about our visit, my wife and I's visit to last year's Lycus party. Two years ago.
The Crystal or the Barracuda?
It was the Barracuda.
That's been
3 years.
It was. I mean, because the last one was at the Crystal.
No, two.
And then the one before that was at Barracuda. So it's been a couple years, like two and a half years.
Yeah, we missed the Crystal one, but we did make it to the Barracuda one. That was the one when we were still in the full-on dating mode. And
yeah.
I just had to tell you that, unfortunately, even though we did make it to that one, remember, we weren't there for very long.
Is this going
to
be another sex in the bathroom story? We were there for 2 minutes, and we had to go hump outside in an alley. Woo! Is that what it's going to be?
I wasn't going to say that, but you kind of ended the story for me.
Well, that's what it always is, dude. It's always, every one of your stories ends with, and then we stripped in the bathroom. Sexy. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I guess I could tell you she punched me in the face while we were doing it.
I don't think that's how you're supposed to do it.
Oh.
And you've got it backward.
Oh, sorry. No. I was just going to say, we are making every effort now, planning, conniving.
Why did you just point to your crotch when you said conniving?
I wasn't pointing at my crotch.
Here's what you just did. You just went planning and then conniving. And it was like as though...
Please don't tell me you're going to end that with making a second child.
Well, not with the gesture he was just doing.
No.
The gesture you were just using probably not result in a child. I mean, I don't know how we should end this conversation.
I would leave that alone. It should be fun. We are going to try to make it. If we can't, I can't. I'm sorry. I do invite my life to be broken down by Mr. Likas. I think that would be fun.
Just want you to remember that Christ is head.
Christ is what?
Never mind.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think you have the balls.
Oh, please. To what?
For what?
To lay out his life in front of...
Well, you are going to be in the same building.
Oh,
he'll be on our show tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Ultimately, this is the trump card I have. I'm happy. So what
do you mean, dude? Doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, ultimately, I know he'll...
happiness doesn't matter to him.
Oh, well, that's
Sarah
true.
Sarah Dillon who said that, by the way.
Does happiness give you wine and big-breasted blonde?
Well, seriously, I mean, no. Look,
well,
I mean,
wait a minute. I had a bottle of wine. I'm married to a big-breasted blonde, and I have a Jag out front. I mean, life is not that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, see, you were bitching to me during the break about, like, you don't know the stress that... have you seen this Jaguar XKE? I'm going to drive all the insurance. Seriously, you got no room to convince about
anything,
that's
why.
Friend.
That's why I think it would be funny if Lycus wanted to try to break me down.
It seems like this is not coming from him. It seems like this is coming from you. Seems like there's...
Me? What do you mean by me?
I'm just saying, you just seem...
I
know,
didn't
it
come
seems
up
like
with this idea.
Seems
you
like
did.
You're spoiling for a fight. That's all. No, we got to bleep
Sorry.
That.
well...
My wife's got my back.
Your wife's got something else of yours,
you
too.
You are itching for a fight.
I got backup. I'm just saying. Right. I won't throw the punch. I'll just get her out of the bar.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I've lost,
but I don't even...
Break.
Are we still talking in some sort of code?
I should probably leave and probably go work. Our mutual boss probably wants me to stop being in here
go
for
have
a
sex
while.
In a bathroom somewhere.
Oh, that's no problem.
You'll be sure to let me know when you've had sex in the CBS bathroom.
To pick her up.
Oh, God. All right,
oh,
never mind.
God.
Oh, I can never... Not enough handy wipes in the world. All right.
See you at the break.
Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's David Allen Coe.
Station in the picker.